Every year, we gather here to tell a story that has been told over and over again. Now, don't get me wrong, it's definitely a miraculous story, but I wonder if it has just become all too familiar. So much so that we've lost the power of this story. Perhaps today, this morning, we need to see the empty tomb in a new light. And so as you listen to our gospel reading from John, I want to invite you to put yourself in the garden. This is actually the garden tomb in the Holy Land. Place yourself in the garden that morning, just before the breaking of dawn. What would your reaction have been upon seeing the stone rolled away? Would it have been fear? Would it have been confusion, doubt, or perhaps hope? Imagine someone you love, your teacher, your friend, your companion, the one that you have walked alongside for 3 years. Imagine that he is missing. How would you respond? I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 2 and 11 through 21. And since this is the gospel, the good news of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The stone was rolled away. Even in the darkness of that first Easter morning, Mary could see that the stone had been rolled away. And that was her first clue that something had happened. But Mary doesn't go into the tomb. She takes off. She immediately leaves. And she runs to get Peter and John and inform them that Jesus is gone, which I find kind of interesting because I don't know how she knows that Jesus is gone because she never went into the tomb. She assumes that since the stone was rolled away, then Jesus must be gone. You see, the stone had been moved. So often we spend time trying to figure out who moved the boulder. I mean, that's the big question. You know, did Jesus move it from behind, or was there someone that came alongside and moved the boulder? And I think it's a futile act to try to figure that out because I don't think it's really that important. You see, the point isn't who moved it. The point is that the tomb is open. What was once sealed up in death and darkness is now filled with light and life. What was once sealed up in death and darkness is now filled with life and light. Death was overcome. Jesus was alive. You see, the stone reminds us that death will no longer confine us. And that is good news for you and I. Death will no longer confine us. Throughout the scriptures, stones have been reminders of God's love and strength for God's people. Stones were used in battle, like the stone that brought down the powerful Goliath. And stones were used to build altars whenever any of the people from the Old Testament came and encountered the divine, encountered God. They would take stones and they would build an altar to remember this place. And then we come to today's reading that was read so beautifully by Daphne from Psalm 118, where we are told that the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Now, a cornerstone is a really important stone in a building. Does anyone know where our church cornerstone is located? That way. Okay, sounds good. So maybe when you leave, take a look and see if you can find the church cornerstone. The cornerstone is, you can see on this, it's at the bottom, and it's right on the foundation of the building. It's found at the base corner of a building. Now, the cornerstone is really important because it is integral to a strong and solid foundation. But the other important part, that's okay. Jesus said, let the little children come. The cornerstone is of key importance because it brings together two separate walls. So not only does it give a strong foundation, but it brings together two separate walls. When we hear Psalm 118, we as followers of Jesus read this passage as a prophecy of the Messiah, a direct quote of the Old Testament scriptures that's pointing to Jesus. You see, he was despised and rejected by the very ones who at one point had hailed him as their king. Last Sunday, we went from crying out, Hosanna, to calling for his death. The Pharisees and the leaders of that time, they feared the power of the crowds that followed him and the ways that he challenged the status quo. And so they called for his death upon a cross. The cries of Hosanna, save us, moved quickly to shouts of crucify him. And to crucify him was for him to die the most shameful death that one could die. But you see, death was not the final word. You see, Jesus, the despised, rejected, betrayed, and scorned one, would become a cornerstone, a literal cornerstone between life and death. His death would bring about new life, and that is the power of resurrection. But you see, it's even more than that. You see, the very life and death of Jesus was about bringing things together, tearing down walls that separate us from God and separate us from one another. Jesus did this over and over and over again, opening a way for the least and the lost and the last of that time, the forgotten. Jesus was always about bringing people back into community, reconnecting them to one another, remembering them into the body of Christ. Jesus was always a builder of bridges, a cornerstone gathering us together. Jesus was a bringer of peace. And we know this because this is the last word we hear in today's scripture reading. The final word in our passage today from John's gospel, the resurrected Jesus, goes to the upper room where they have locked themselves away, and he arrives offering peace. Peace be with you. But he doesn't leave it there. You see, it isn't just about accepting peace. Jesus isn't just about telling them, peace be with you. Jesus is saying to them, you need to go and live out that peace. And so his last words to them were, peace be with you, just as my Father sent me, so I send you. This peace has to be lived out. Just as Jesus became a builder of bridges, a cornerstone, we too are called to be bridge builders in the world. A cornerstone in a world that is too often terribly divided, and we know that. We have places in our own families where we are divided, places in this faith community where we have times of division. But Jesus calls us to be bridge builders. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been looking at the call of Amos, a call that justice might roll down like a river. And Jesus lived out this call, offering healing to the most broken of his day by welcoming those that were pushed to the margins of society, the ones that nobody wanted to go near or touch. That was where Jesus stood. By offering hope and redemption to the ones that were most despised and rejected in that day. Jesus was a bridge builder. And even as he faced his most bitter rejection, even as he hung from the cross, what did he do but offer forgiveness and love? Just imagine what our world would look like if we could do the same. Offering peace to our enemies instead of retaliation. Could you imagine if that was the reaction of the world? Offering peace instead of retaliation. Choosing to listen and to be present with those who see the world differently or experience the world differently than ourselves, sitting down and listening to someone whose political and theological views are diametrically opposed to our own. Are we able to do that? To sit and listen to one another? I realize that it's very hard to preach peace when we look around at the violence and the wars that continue to rage in our world. It's really hard to imagine the peace that Jesus speaks of. And yet, maybe it begins with peace in our own hearts. We can go there. Right now, in this moment, maybe it's about accepting the peace that Christ has to offer in our own hearts. The grace, the forgiveness, the love that Christ pours out to each one of us. Christ offers peace. And brothers and sisters, if we are going to be people of resurrection, then there will always be the possibility of peace, the possibility of new life, the promise of light and life over the powers of darkness and death. If we are people of the resurrection, then we believe that light and life will always prevail. And that is why we come on Easter morning to hear this story once more, because we are people of the resurrection. We believe that God's love is stronger than all the hate in our world. We believe that God's light continues to shine even into the darkest places of our world. And we believe that God's peace has the power to change this world and change us. Sisters and brothers, the good news of Easter must be lived and shared. It's not enough to come and hear this message. I hope that's not all that happens today. If you've just come to hear a happy message, I pray that something will send you out into the world to share it today. You see, because we are called to live and to go and to share this peace, to share God's love, to shine God's light, to live lives of peace, and to be builders of bridges, not walls. Builders of bridges, not walls. Bridges in our families, bridges in our communities, and bridges to our world. The promise of resurrection will only be fulfilled when we live it out. And so as you leave today, maybe you've already taken a stone. I want to invite you to take a stone on your way out if you don't have one. A reminder that we are called to be living stones in the world. As co-builders with Christ, we are called to not only stand on the strong and sure foundation of Christ, but we are called to be about the work of tearing down the walls and building bridges in our world. Like a cornerstone that brings together two separate walls, we are called to bring together what was disconnected. Brothers and sisters, we are living stones. So perhaps you remember a couple weeks ago, for those of you that were with us, you had a stone, and that stone represented, I carried this rock on my back with many other rocks, to help us see the burdens that we carry. We often carry these burdens when we are unwilling to forgive. So we took our stones that we had, and we laid them down at the cross. Well, those stones are being transformed today, transformed into a message of God's continual call that we might be living stones, cornerstone. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong through the Savior's love. Through the storm, Lord of all. Then
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord.